Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your benefits. Thank you for allowing us to once again come and to worship and to speak of your name. Use me now this another time. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. It's just so wonderful to be here today. Steve and Connie, as he's just said, we go back all the way to about 1990 with their crusade. And that's why it's just good to involve yourself, because you never know what kinds of relationship that God has tucked in there if you just make yourself available. And from that experience is a long tenure of relationship. And we just thank God for this dear man and wife of God whom the Lord has placed here for such a time as this. Do you know you have a wonderful pastor and wife? Let's give them a big hand. Amen. I just love him. I need to go on and just take that Christian growth position myself. I'd like to talk this morning from the subject, how to have victory over depression. How to have victory over depression. And we'll be turning to four passages of scripture. If you'd be so kind enough to turn to the first one, Exodus 18. Exodus chapter 18, verses 14 through 24. Exodus 18, 14 through 24. But for the sake of time, we'll just read the 18th verse, and it says, both you and these people are with you, who are with you, will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Then 1 Kings, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4 and 9 through 10. 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4 and 9 through 10. But for the sake of time, we'll just focus in on the fourth verse. You can read the rest in your quiet time. Verse 4 says, but he himself went a day's journey, speaking of Elijah, into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. And then turn with me, if you will, to the book of Jonah, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Jonah 4, 1 through 11. And again, for the sake of time, we want to focus in on that third verse in Jonah chapter 4. And it reads, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And then the final scripture is Psalm 69, verses 16 through 20. Make sure you read that whole 69th chapter. Psalm 69, 16 through 20, focusing in on verse 20 of Psalm 69. It says, reproach has broken my heart. Many who are depressed are brokenhearted. And look what it says there. I am full of heaviness. I believe depression is also having a degree of heaviness. Look what David is so depressed until he says, I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. Since the terrorist attack in America on September the 11th, 2001, many in our society, young and old, Christians and non-Christians alike, have been experiencing bouts with depression. Witnessing the loss of thousands of lives, the fact that our country is now engaged in a type of war that we've not fought before, the new threat of bioterrorism, and the surge in company layoffs have led many into a state of depression. Hopefully, this message can serve as a source of encouragement to sort of jumpstart your life and give you the spiritual boost you need in order to live a life of productivity and purpose for the glory of God. In these four passages I've just read, beloved, there are four particular individuals: Moses, Elijah, David, and Jonah. And they all had something in common. They all had their moments with depression. Yes, they were God's chosen men, choice servants. And yes, they were greatly used of God, but this did not remove them from the fact that they suffered with depression. Let's now focus in on the lives of these men and see their struggle with depression. In Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 24, in Exodus 18, depression comes upon Moses as he was overwhelmed with the pressures of leadership. Standing before the people from sun up to sundown, making decisions in the case of the people, being maxed out, stressed out, strung out, frustrated, never-ending process, Jethro sees Moses at the breaking point and sees that this never-ending process is getting the best of him, and seeing perhaps that depression was setting in because of the mammoth of this task, told Moses, you're doing too much. You need to get you some help. Now, physically, Moses did not know how to delegate. He took everything upon himself, which just wore him out. Emotionally, he felt inferior to the task. The burden of leading the people appeared too big for him. And then spiritually, Moses was so overcome by his burden for the people, he allowed his frustration over rebellious Israel to get the best of him and cause him to shift his focus from God, and even miss entering the promised land. Let me tell you something. People can mess you up. Elijah, in 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4, and verses 9 through 10, Elijah runs from Jezebel after just experiencing a tremendous victory on Mount Carmel. And then he ends up depressed. He stands up to 450 prophets of Baal, wins the contest on Mount Carmel. God was proven to be God, executed 450 prophets of Baal, and then tuck his tail and run from one woman. Depression will do that. Physically, Elijah was exhausted. Physically, his adrenaline had been pumping so hard, and for so long he was depleted of all his energy. Emotionally, he feared for his life. And fearing for your life for a period of time will bring on depression. Spiritually, his fear of Jezebel overshadowed his faith in God. His fear of Jezebel overshadowed his faith in God. And when fear overrides your faith, therein comes depression. And then let's look at the psalmist of Israel, that sweet psalmist in Brother David, in Psalm 69, 16 through 20, particularly verse 20. David is in a state of depression as he hides in the wilderness from murderous Saul. Physically, he was worn out from running and searching for food and shelter and protection. Emotionally, David described himself as being brokenhearted. Many depressed folk are brokenhearted. He says in verse 20, I am full of heaviness. Depression is having a heavy heart. You know, there might be somebody under my voice with that kind of heart. For David felt utter despair for his life. He looked for pity, being so depressed, wanted someone to join his pity party. And yet, the verse says, he found none. Physically, David was worn out from all of this running and searching. Emotionally, brokenhearted, heavy. Spiritually, he waited on God for deliverance. He pleaded with God for answers and a rescue. And then finally, in the book of Jonah, in Jonah chapter 4, verse 11, 1 through 11, Jonah was so depressed that he wanted to die after the salvation of Nineveh. People are rejoicing after revival had set in. And he's all wore out in depression. He was depressed to the point that he had suicidal tendencies. Wanted to kill himself. Physically, Jonah was exhausted after his ride in a fish. I would be too, 3 days and three nights in fish fat. He was exhausted from fervent preaching. Emotionally, he was torn between the need to obey God and resentment of God's salvation of such a heathen people, resenting the fact that God would even take the time to save these heathens. And I believe that all the Jonahs aren't gone because of what happened in that prolific thing on September 11th, that great calamity. And we suffered a great loss. And perhaps now we are so full of resentment and animosity against Afghanistan, we don't want to pray for them. We don't want to see them get saved. Maybe all the Jonahs aren't gone. Spiritually, Jonah was angry toward God because of God's love and mercy toward Nineveh. What is depression? What is it? Depression is a temporary mental state or chronic mental disorder characterized by feelings of being low in spirit. It is being gloomy. It's being filled with despair. One who is depressed often experiences discouragement, sadness, melancholy. It is not my intention to delve into clinical depression such as hypomanic episodes or bipolar disorders and on that goes. Today I just come to give a word of encouragement to those who are experiencing situational depression, or in other words, just experiencing the plain old blues. And you'll be quite surprised that the very ones, perhaps even sitting next to you, they look well. And they even dress well and even speak well. And yet, perhaps they are the very ones struggling with depression. Oh, yeah, they may have the smiles on the face, but people don't know how low they feel actually on the inside. It's like that old Negro spiritual that says, "Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows but Jesus." Really. Well, let's first dispel some myths about depression. There are some things that are just not true. And one of which is it is wrong for a Christian to ever be depressed. That's incorrect. We read about Moses and David and Jonah and Elijah, four great men chosen of God, greatly used by God, and yet they had their moments. And you say, "Oh, I've never been depressed. That's not me." Well, you must be a little bit better than God. Because even Jesus had his moments, seeing the hardness of the hearts, and he came into his own, and his own received him not. He looked at him and wept over him. And old Jerusalem, "Jerusalem, I just wanted to gather you as a hen gather her chicks under her wings." And I believe he experienced some depression because here was the Son of God in flesh, and yet they rejected him and called him everything but God. Second thing, a second myth is depression always is a result of sin. Now, it could be true. We'll talk about that later. Sin can be the result of, depression can be because of sin, but not necessarily so. You can be depressed without having committed some kind of gross sin. Thirdly, depression always comes from a lack of faith in God. If you just had more faith, then you wouldn't be so depressed. These were great men of faith. I mean, Elijah standing up to 450 prophet of Baal. How many of you would stand up against 450 people? Moses put his cane down, turn into a snake, and pick it up by the... Who would pick up a snake trusting it to turn back to a cane? But they all exhibited faith. David slew Goliath. But yet he suffered from depression. So just because you have faith, even strong faith, does not exempt you from depression. And fourthly, having a close walk with the Lord exempts me from depression. I've been walking with the Lord a long time. I'm close. I do my devotions and I read my scriptures and I'm a regular attendee at church and I'm in Sunday school and small group fellowship. Therefore, I can't get depressed. And oh, you may be surprised. Possible causes for depression. Number one, living consistently with high levels of stress until it gets the best of you, as in the case of Moses. Living consistently with high levels of stress until it gets the best of you. Some of you, you're under so much stress until that stress is spiraling you right into depression. Too much on your plate. I want to serve notice on you. You are not omnipresent. You cannot be everywhere at the same time. There are only so many hours in a day. There's only so much you can do. You have to allow the Lord to prioritize your day. If you don't have an agenda from the Lord, men are waiting to give you an agenda that's not of God, and it will break you because they don't know how much you can bear. Maybe the wisest answer you can give is, thanks, but no thanks. It's just not the appropriate time for that in my life. And people will have to accept that, whether they understand it or not. You don't have to be mean or ugly about it. As a matter of fact, when I turn folk down, they come back to me a second time because they say, Randall, you turned me down so graciously that I didn't realize I'd been turned down, so I had to ask again. You can be gracious about turning folk down. You need to realize that you are finite and you do have limitations and you do need to cut back in order to have a more productive life for God. And secondly, dwelling on failures are some terrible experiences from your past. Whatever that may be can bring about depression, perhaps molestation, perhaps some abandonment, who knows what it could be, something you did to yourself, or maybe something you brought on yourself, or perhaps you were a victim of circumstances. You're not responsible, but you found yourself right there. And we all have a past, and we all got some skeletons in our closet to one degree or another. Some of us have more or less, and if they haven't been resolved, you need to get them resolved. God is able to fix your past if you give it to Jesus. He's able to cleanse it by the blood, and maybe he's brought it up so that you can deal with it to set your captive soul free. And if you've already been freed and Satan is satanically trying to ambush you with something that God has already delivered you from, when Satan reminds you of your past, you are hereby authorized and deputized to remind that devil of his future. Another possible cause of depression is experiencing a significant loss. Experiencing a significant loss, perhaps of a loved one, or maybe you were in close relationship with a friend down through the years and it went sour. You fell out over something and even now it's not the same. You used to golf and jog and have fun and eat and fellowship and have special moments, and now you feel bad for that relationship. A marriage that has ended up in divorce after years of marriage and you've been abandoned. A loss of a job. We have Maranathians who have lost jobs. That's why we want to put this church up debt-free, so we'll lose jobs. We don't have to panic. Amen, because bills keep coming, don't they? Loss of jobs. And let me tell you something. God can keep you with or without the job, and he's able to supply. Loss of a pet. A missed opportunity. You ever had an opportunity you could have cashed in on? You knew it was an opportunity, but you didn't take advantage of it. and after the fact you wished you had and you depressed over it. Your health. Some of you just get depressed over your health. You're tired of the pills. You're tired of arthritis, heart problems, migraines. You're tired of battling with cancer. You're tired of going to dialysis. And on it goes. I don't know what you're going through, but and you're tired of the pills. Take this pill for that and that pill for that and the hospital waiting rooms and from doctor to doctor and treatment to treatment. And you just wonder how long the night. Sometimes you just want to take all the medicine and just flush it all down the commode and say, I'm tired. Maybe you've had status and now things have changed and you don't have the status or the prestige you've had. Jesus died to set you free and you've been freed, but you've now re-enslaved yourself with anger that have captivated you and put you in bondage. And prolonged anger leads to depression. Some of you, if you really admit it, you've been far too angry this year. Others of you, you've been in bondage, enslaved to unforgiving spirit, and you won't let go. And because of that unforgiving spirit, the blues has a stronghold on you. Others, it's drugs. And others of you, you took that first drink, or you're perhaps a social drinker, but all of a sudden, every time a problem comes, you find yourself drinking more and more and more, and now instead of you having it, it has you. Perhaps some of you, it's even gambling and playing the lottery. You know, I get my gas. I wish the lottery would, they would have a gas line and a lottery line, but they don't. And they always ask me, do I want to pick one? And I just tell them I don't need that because my father is too rich to participate, for me to participate. They say, and everybody looks around. I love saying that. It's a good testimony. They say, well, who is he? Who is his daddy? Is it David Robinson? Pornography will send you spiraling into depression. Another possible cause for depression is children leaving the nest. You know, your life been wrapped around those children. Now you look around, the house is silent. And maybe they won't even be home for Thanksgiving. And it's just you and maybe your hubby. Maybe even not your husband. And some of you, when they leave the house, you don't get depressed. You get glad. You've done all you could. You gave them your all. You trained them. They were in vacation Bible school. They went to Sunday school. You took trips together. You poured your life into them. And yet they end up on drugs, in jail, poor motivation, poor grades, refusing to listen, full of back talk, bad life decisions. And that's depressing you because You hate to see your child in that state. Well, I got news for you. Let me give you a word of encouragement. You can't stop living your life because of your child. And secondly, you can't live their lives for them. I mean, there was a time they were on your lap, but now they are on your heart. And you have to just give them to Jesus and let God be God in those circumstances. Another cause for depression is not having your departed loved ones to share the holidays with. Christmas, anniversary, birthdays leads to depression. Perhaps you have biological or chemical depression. You're suffering because of biological changes. Your body needs medical attention, and what is needed most perhaps for you is a physical exam or an evaluation. And for others of you, depression comes when we measure our self-worth by the standards of this world. And if you do that, you're going to get depressed. Some of you feel you're too big and you lose weight and gain double weight. Some feel you're too tall, too short. Some of you get upset when you see the Miss America beauty pageant. You don't have the abilities, the intelligence, or whatever. But you know what? And those commercials are not designed to enhance your self-esteem. They're always going to leave you wanting more because they're trying to sell a product. Amen? A lot of you would live life at a better quality if you stop living in television and governing your life by the news. Once you've seen what's going on in Afghanistan, and once you've heard this or that a time or two, you need to just turn it to something else, or better still, cut it off and read a good book. I mean, you don't need to rewind the thing over and over. Such can be depressing. And as for those of you who are depressed because you measure your self-worth by the standards of this world, Psalms 139:13-14 says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." God says, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. If you don't have any hair like me, I'm still beautiful. Amen. I'm black and beautiful. You're white and beautiful, Hispanic and beautiful, Korean, Japanese, whatever you are. We're beautiful because we're God's creation. Amen. God made us. We didn't come from monkey. We didn't evolve. It came from God. Amen. How do we get the victory over depression? How do we get the victory over depression? Let's give some solutions to all of this. Number one, call upon Jesus Christ and realize that without him, you can do nothing. I mean, without Christ, you're not going to win that battle of depression. You need the Lord, because Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And John 15:5 says, without me, you can do nothing. You can't get a victory over depression until you give it to God. And before you give it to God, you need to come to Christ. In Christ is the answer for depression. To stay at the bottom, lick your wounds, and roll over in your misery only leads to deeper despair. You need to cry out for the Lord's help like David did. In Psalms 109:26, he says two words to begin that verse, "Help me, Lord, help me." There are times you need to verbalize your feelings. Therein lies a release. He says, "Help me, O Lord, my God." You know he's your God. If he's your God, call on him. "Oh, save me according to your mercy, and not just from my sins, but even out of my depression." Secondly, confess your sins and walk in holiness. Confess your sins and walk in holiness. Now, just because you're depressed don't necessarily mean you have committed a sin, but sin does lead to depression. In 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." A life contaminated with sin will lead to devastating consequences and depression. The severe damage caused as a result of sin will leave us depressed, leave us messed up, despondent, distraught, confused. Thirdly, the third way you have victory over depression is utilize the Word of God as a resource for encouragement and power. This book will lift your depression. And Psalms 119:97 out of this book says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." The Bible is the most reliable source for an encouragement for depression. It heals. It helps. It works. Fourthly, deal with anger in a biblical manner. Deal with anger. Remember, anger is not wrong. Even Jesus himself had a righteous indignation against sin. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Prolonged anger, however, is a breeding ground for depression. And some of you, if you admit it, you've been angry far too much this year. You've been far too irritable. And Satan will exploit that to no end. You need to choose your battles. God does not call you to fight every battle in your life. You need to pick what, you need to ask the Lord to lead you in what battles he wants you to fight. And then let him fight it for you. The battle belongs to the Lord. And realize that there's a lot of fronts out there, and you know when to be still, and you need to know that. And when God says fight, fight, when he says be still, be still. Another thing that will help you in a time of depression, play praise or worship music. P- play praise or worship music in the background as you go through your day. 1 Samuel 16:23 says, "And so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play with his hand. Then Saul would become," listen at this, "refreshed and well." Get that? Refreshed and well. "And the distressing spirit would depart from him." Do you have praise music, worship music that would just usher you right in the presence of God? It will lift the blues and posture you for a good day. Position you for a good day. To get out of depression, you need to refuse to be negative. Some of you focus on all that's not. Refuse to be negative. Instead of dwelling on your faults, look for positive things in your life. Your choice of attitude will often determine what you find. If you look for all the garbage and the wrong stuff and what could have been and what's not, you're going to be down. But if you look for the progress, I don't care if it's an inch, but an inch worth, there's hope. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praiseworthy, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Another thing we need to consider as it relates to getting victory over depression, we need to practice time management. It helps also. You are more productive and make progress in completing your objectives as you make better use of your time. Some of you are poor stewards of time, and you end up depressed because you haven't accomplished nothing. Finish what you set out to do. That lifts your spirit. Completing a task is more fulfilling than a lot of little unfulfilled tasks. Fulfilled tasks lift the spirit. Another thing you need to consider is practice physical fitness. Practice physical fitness. You combat depression by taking care of your body. It's God-given, after all. It belongs to the Lord. And we need to eat healthy and exercise. You need to go walking, biking, bowling, golfing, swimming, whatever turns you on in that regard. Lift weights. Hit a punching bag. This releases stress and relaxes you. Refuse, for God's sake, restrain from being a couch potato. And get up and do something. If you're going to have victory over depression, then it means that you need to seek out opportunities to help others. Be a blessing. For this will shift your focus off of your self-pity and reduce your own depression. If you're depressed, the best way to get that depression lifted is go to the hospital and see somebody worse off than you. Go to Sam's Shelter and see someone without a home, a nursing home. Go visit the prisons. Do letter writing. Do letter writing to somebody that's incarcerated. Tutor a child that's struggling in math, and you'll find out that when you start focusing on other folk problems, you think less of yours. And by the way, in lifting depression, you have to realize it's okay to laugh again. Some of you are too tight. You're so heavily minded, you're no earthly good. Try to do some things spontaneously. It's okay to admit that you're having a good time. Some of you have been miserable so long that when you start having a good time, you don't want to admit it. And you don't want others to know it. But it's okay to say, you know, I had fun today. It's all right. In lifting depression, make wise decisions. Wise life decisions. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." Those who make wise life decisions will experience more joy and less depression. You don't count God in, consult God, consider God, ask God, make a mess. No wonder you're depressed. What you did was born out of defect because God wasn't in the process. Then, the way to have victory over depression is counting your blessings. Counting your blessings will lift depression and usher in an attitude of gratitude. I double, triple, quadruple dare you to start counting your blessings. I mean, thank God for your children, your grandchildren. Thank God that you're here. Thank God that that your eyes can blink, that you have a voice, you got legs, you got arms, you can inhale, exhale. Thank God for what you have. And I thank God for His grace, His mercy, His love, His sovereignty, His word, His blood, His sufficiency. You can count yourself happy. You can count your way to rejoicing. Just you think yourself happy as you begin to count your blessings from the Lord. Finally, but not the least, realize that there is hope. You know, if you don't realize that there is hope, you will never come out. Psalms 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9 says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed. That was a perplexing thing that happened on September 11. But yet, even though we're perplexed, we don't have to despair. We are persecuted, but hey, even in the midst of this war, we're not forsaken. We've been struck down. Towers were struck down. Thousands of lives were lost. But yet we're not destroyed. And John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. Jesus said so. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And it's going to be all right. Can you repeat it after me? It's going to be all right. Listen, in closing, I want to encourage you with the words of Corrie ten Boom. She says, and I quote, no pit is so deep that God is not deeper still. Look without and be distressed. Look within and be depressed. Look to Jesus and be at rest. Father, thank you for this message, and may it serve as a source of encouragement. May it impregnate us with much hope as we begin to live life at a level that can give you the most glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that blessed assurance way down in my soul. God's got it all in control. Ooh, God got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that blessed assurance way down in my soul. God's got it all in control. He holds the beginning and end of time. He holds the light of prophecy. And since He has all of that, surely, surely He'll take care of you and me. Yes, God got it all in control. Ooh, He's got it all in control. Put that blessed assurance way down in my soul. God's got it all in control. I got some news for you. Your life is in God's hand. How do you believe that? Let me see your hands. How do you know your life? Your very life is in God's hand. Just give Him the glory in everything you do. My life is in God's hand. Yeah, God's got it all in control. I come by to tell you, He's got it all in control. He put that blessed assurance way down in my soul. God got it all in control. He in control. Got it all in control. In control. In control. He's got it all in control. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. He's got it all in control. King Jesus is my captain. Got it all in control. Ain't no danger while I'm in the water. God's got it all in control. He picked me up, turned me around. Got it all in control. Don't you worry about that Amtrak. He's got it all in control. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Don't you worry about Osama bin Laden. He's got it all in control. It's all right. Hey, it's all right. He's got it all in control. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir. In control. In control. He's got it, 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 got it all in control.
I just want you to know I do the very same thing he does when I go to Maranatha. In my dreams. One thing, one announces Heart Connection for the women. Marcia Walenta has been full-time on staff almost a year now, and God has really blessed that ministry. About 200 women gather on Tuesday night, second Tuesday night of every month. I think it's Terry George that's speaking this month. And so, ladies, don't forget that, Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Well, He's got it all in control. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns you today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes your way. He is able, more than able, to do what's more than I could ever